morning. I see you in the sunrise every morning. It's like a picture that you painted for me. A love letter in the sky. Story. I could have had a really different story. But you came down from heaven to restore me. Forever save my life. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in awe of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am breathing. God, you are faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you. Mountains, you're breaking down the weight of all my mountains. Even when it feels like I'm surrounded, you never leave my side. Oh,
send the light, send the light. Good morning. We have a few announcements. I think Ms. Kim is making her way. There we go.
Go around the long way.
Well, it's camp day. I bet you couldn't guess that, could you? Look at all these purple shirts in this castle. We're going to have such a great week. I'm so excited. If you are going home, if you're working in camp and you're going home, please try to be back here by 12:30. That doesn't give you very much time, but we have lots of kids, hopefully, to register. And so I'll need all the help I can get. So thank you. If you are not a part of camp this week, if you could pray for us through the week, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a few more things. Next Sunday, we'll be having fifth Sunday dinner following the morning service. July 7th, we'll be beginning our small group on Jonah during the evening service, meeting up in the different locations there. If you'd like to get plugged into that, just see Mr. Brent or Brother Wade here, and they can help y'all find a spot. And then July 14th, we'll be having a business meeting during the evening service. I believe that's it. Will y'all pray with me? God, I pray for camp and those who are going to be here. God, I pray you just open their hearts and have them kids ready to hear the message we have. God, I pray for Roger and what you give him this week. And God, I pray you just bless him there. God, I pray for Brother Wade and what he's going to bring today. God, I pray you just give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, take me to my heart.
every anxious thought that steals my breath. It's a heavy weight upon my chest. As I lie awake and wonder what the future will hold, help me to remember that you're in control. You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength cause I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. I will lift my eyes. I will lift my cares. Lay them in your hands. I'll leave them there. When the wind and waves are coming, my need you'll see. Even though I'm in the storm is not in me. You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength cause I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. No power can come against me, cause you have overcome. No dark can overwhelm me, cause you've already won. No power can come against me, cause you have overcome. No dark can overwhelm me, cause you've already won. You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength cause I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength cause I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. Oh, I will fear no more. Thank you. His throne it shall remain and ever stand. All the power, all the glory, I will trust in His name. For my God, the Ancient of the future brings, I will watch and wait for the Savior King. Then my joy complete, standing face to face in the presence of the Ancient of Days. None
first-time visitor in our church. There's a blue envelope in the pew in front of you for you to fill out to give us more information about yourself and put in the offering plate as it comes by. We appreciate you for doing that for us. One of our men will come now and lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for the day that you've given us. Lord, I do want to pray for our children's camp, and I pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to work in a mighty way here at Osage. And now, Lord, as we prepare to take this offering, I pray that you would bless it, that you will multiply it, and you would use it for your kingdom. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
children could be dismissed for children's church at this time. Brother Wade.
Hey, good morning, everybody. And as already mentioned, we do have camp this week. And anybody else feel like we walked into a castle? So I've been impressed with the alligator, or the crocodile, whichever one it is. I didn't take a long enough stop at him, I guess, to look at his snout to identify him, but I've been impressed with him swimming in the wood many times, and now he's got water, so, yeah. So, well, Brandy and I, we got into another argument yesterday, and this time it wasn't funny. Yeah, so we started arguing over what you call a medieval soldier. And we argued all day about it yesterday. Finally, it got dark, and we just decided to call it a night. So, and I've been saving that one for this morning to go along with our theme. So, anyway, now I am excited about it, and definitely be in prayer for what's going on here. If you're here or not, so. Be praying for that, and hopefully we'll just look forward to having a good week. So, and hopefully we'll have plenty of kids around this week. So, we do have house church. That's two Sundays away, right? So it's not next Sunday. It's the Sunday after that, the 7th. And one thing I keep forgetting to mention on that is, you know, yeah, if you're not plugged in and you want to be plugged into one, you know, talk to Brent, talk to me, we'll get you plugged in. But if you just all of a sudden say, you know what, I'm going this evening, we have one here at the church, so you don't have to be pre-approved to go somewhere or pre-planned. You can be here at the church at 6. So I just want to remind everybody of that. If you haven't been plugged into one and you want to come, you can always come to the one here. It is at 6, isn't it, Max? Yeah, there you are. Yeah, I lost you and you hadn't even moved on me, so, yeah. All right, well, with that, we'll get into our message this morning. You know, I think God's got a sense of humor, and I always find things interesting, and I got a message this morning. We're gonna look in 1 Samuel 5, 1 through 5, and start our scripture this morning. If everybody go ahead and stand with me as we read the word this morning. It says, after the Philistines had captured the Ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod, and then they carried it, the Ark, into Dagon's temple, and it set it beside Dagon. And when the people of Ashdod rose early the next morning, or the next day, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and put him back in his place. But the following morning, when they rose, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. And his hands had been broken off and were lying on the threshold. Only his body remained, and that is why to this day, neither priest of Dagon nor any of the others who enter Dagon's temple at Ashdod step on the threshold. If you will, join me in a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the beautiful weather you've given us, Lord, and we just thank you for being able to come to your house. Lord, I just ask that you would just open our hearts and minds to your word this morning and just be with those that they have needs that are on our prayer list or have other needs maybe that aren't there, that haven't been spoken, but you know what they are, Lord. I just ask you be with them as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You all be seated. Now, so I find some humor here and there, and I don't know if this was meant to be humorous, but I find this part humorous where the Philistines had captured the ark, and they put it in Dagon's temple, and they keep finding Dagon falling over. And I don't know about y'all, I find that humorous whenever I read that scripture. But so what had happened, though, if you go back, they had decided to use the ark. The Jews had the Israelites had used the ark to go out like their ancestors had before, to go out to fight the Philistines because they were worried the Philistines was going to beat them. So they took the ark out there and they expected it to win the victory because that's what their ancestors had done. And instead they got the ark captured and the Philistines had taken it over to Ashdod, and we see that that this is what happened. So, you know, we see that God's hand was heavy on the people of Ashdod and the surrounded areas because they had captured the ark and they had taken it over and had put it in Dagon's temple like it was just one of their gods. Because in their mind, going back, they thought they had captured the God of Israel. You know, we know what they don't know, but God didn't, that wasn't the God of Israel. That was just the Ark of the Covenant that he had made, right? That was the promise. So, but as I talk about this morning, you know, we're going to look at it from their perspective a little bit. They thought they had captured God. So they thought they had captured the Israelites' God. They thought they had him, and then they put him in the temple and with their other gods. But so then he started, you know, afflicting them with tumors and afflicting them with things going on and other devastations, and they complained and they wanted rid of the ark, and they said, hey, you know what? We don't want this around because not only is this happening, but the ark's Dagon's falling over. You can't stand in front of him. We don't want the ark. So they take God, if you will, in that perspective, and they say we want to ship him over here to another place, and they kick him over there and got rid of him, and they moved him to Gath. And the same thing started happening in Gath. The people in Gath started getting afflicted, and the rats was bothering them, the tumors was bothering them, they was getting ill from it, and they said, hey, we don't want the God of Israel here either. Let's get rid of him. So they kicked him on down to Ekron. And whenever the ark got to Ekron, the folks at Ekron come out and they said, hold on, we don't want him. We don't want you to bring him here because we don't want all that stuff to happen, right? So they denied the ark to come there. And it says they have brought the ark of the God of Israel around to kill us and our people. And then we'll jump to chapter 6, verse 5 through 6. And it says, make models of the tumors and of the rats that are destroying the country and give glory to Israel's God. Perhaps he will lift his hand from you and your gods and your land. And why do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh did? And when Israel's God dealt harshly with them, did they not send the Israelites out so they could go on their way? So now they've decided, hey, we need to do something about this. We have to relent and we have to get free from this affliction that is capturing the God of Israel, right? So what we see is God was being put in front of Dagon like he was equal to Dagon. And even though God didn't dwell there, like I said, we know that wasn't where God was dwelling. But even though that wasn't the case, they thought it was. And he wasn't going to have that. And he kept knocking Dagon over. And then he broke Dagon, right? The idol that they had that was just an idol. But in their minds, it was real. And God, knowing that that was their intent, he said, no other God's going to stand before me, right? So we see that he didn't allow them to even think that that their God had any power over him. But the ark of God had fallen into the hands of the Philistines because, like I said, they had taken it out. The Israelites had taken it out to use it to win the battle. Now, I don't find where they got down, they prayed about it, they didn't get any direction from God. God didn't say, take the ark out there and you're going to win this victory. They just thought, hey, this is what happened before, so we're going to pull out God and we're going to use God as a trinket, right? And he's going to conquer because they were looking at the power of being in the Ark of the Covenant. they were missing, as a nation, they had fallen away from God, and they were missing that the power wasn't in the Ark of the Covenant. The power was in the covenant. Amen? The power was in the fact that God said, I'm going to take care of you. The power was with God. That was just a representation of his promise. But they pulled him out to use him as a magic trinket. Now, as I say this, I'm going to use that word magic because that was how they acted with him. I know that what God does is not magic, right? But that was the act in which they was using the ark. They were just thinking they could control it and they could use it and they would call upon his power when they needed it, right? So they treated it maybe, we could even say, as a weapon rather than a trinket, but they treated it as a tool to be used. And I wonder, you know, how often do we do the same thing? How often do we put God in the wrong place and we say, you know, God, you just didn't act the way I wanted you to act in that. You didn't do the things I wanted you to do in my life. And we want to just move him on over to Gath, or we want to move him on over to Ekron, right? We want to move him out of the place that he belongs, and we want to use him in such a way. Now, that might be slightly offensive to say, hey, we want to use God in this way, or we want to use God in that way, right? And it should be to a believer, because as a believer, we know that God is not a tool to be used in whatever way we want. We can't wield him and his will. It should be the other way around. You know, we should be the tool, not God. Amen? And I know what you're thinking. Some of us are bigger tools than others, right? Thank you. But we're the servant. God doesn't serve us. We serve him. The people, the children of Israel at this time, they were looking at God serving them, but they were to serve him, and they had it flipped around. They had the priorities wrong in their life, and they didn't have God in the right place. You know, and the Philistines, when they got him, they put him in the wrong place because they put him in the pagan temple, and God wasn't going to have that either because they had put him in the wrong place. And like I say, they wanted to just pull him out when they had troubles. And I wonder, you know, do we just try to pull him out when we have troubles? You know, when something bad's going on in our life, is that when we say, oh, hold on, we need to stop everything and we're going to pray today, right? We're going to pray about this. And maybe we haven't done any of that before. Do we wait until, you know, that's happened before we ask for God's guidance for his power? You know, it's us, like I said, that should be serving him. You know, we often, I think, wonder what God will do for me today. You know, when we come to church, sometimes what's God's going to do in my life today, right? And that sounds good. That sounds good and churchy, but sometimes all the time we should be saying, God, how can I serve you today? How can I worship you? Because that's the direction. He's not here for us. We're here for him, and we should be worshiping him rather than asking, what are you going to do for me? You know, we sacrifice things. We sacrifice we make sacrifices. We have blessings. We have our relationships, and we worry about all these things, and we think about these things. And often we turn it toward ourselves, and we make ourselves the important thing as we worship even, is what did I get out of worship service? Well, I shouldn't get much out of worship service. I should be given to worship service, and then by that I will feel blessed because I am worshiping. Does that make sense? You know, as we serve, we are serving our purpose, and we will be blessed in our service as we're doing it in God's will in the right way. You know, I think if we pull closer to him, we may not look like Moses coming off the Mount of Sinai. We may not have the glow to us in a physical sense, and people may still be able to look at us, right? But as we get closer to God, I think it'll be more obvious than if we're not. I think it'll be seen in our lives, it'll be felt in us, and we'll know that we're serving Him, and He'll pour that out on us. You know, we want the power of God in our lives so often. We want God to bless us. We want these things to happen, and we pray about them. And, you know, we want the power of God in our lives, but how often do we put Him in the right place and we follow His will? You know, as we're asking, you know, are we doing it in the right way? They took the Ark of the Covenant out in the wrong way, and they expected blessing, and they didn't get blessing, right? And it had been real easy for the children of Israel to say, well, God's left us. Well, God doesn't leave us, we leave Him. Because God doesn't move. See, and if I heard a guy say this a long time ago, and it's always stuck with me. He said, if you're not closer to God, or if you're farther away from God today than you were the day you got saved, then you're the one that moved. God done it. You know, the children of Israel, they had moved from the obedience they had with God and to God, and they had moved out of His will, and they started trying to do things their own way. Because they were trying to copy what God had done with the ark before. And it's easy for us to look and say, well, God did this before. We're going to just copy what we see other people doing that are doing things in the will of God. But God often doesn't work the same way twice. And just because He did it in someone else's life that way doesn't mean He's going to do it in our life that way. We need to be seeking God's will for us, not God's will for someone else. Amen? You know, He may call that person to go witness to those people. He may call that person to go to Africa, or that person go to India. But He may call us to go next door. And we don't need to mimic the calling of other people or the way He's working other people. We need the instructions from Him directly, and we'll only get that if we're drawn close to Him. Because what they missed was back then, God had instructed them to take the ark out in front of them. He hadn't instructed them to do so. You know, because they were following Joshua, and Joshua was praying for the direction, and here, like I said, we never see him ask. So the Philistines, they had captured God. And like I said, we know better than that. But in their mind, they had captured God. And then their fear, their expectations, all of that have faded because nothing they expected to happen happened, right? I mean, they took him. He seemed, okay, well, nothing big here. It's just like our idols. Nothing's happening. So let's put him over in the temple. And they put him in the wrong place. And they put him there, like I say, next to Dagon. And then, you know, God is not going to be held in contempt. They were holding him in contempt. They were taking him and saying, well, there's nothing to him. And as we hold God in contempt, we can expect the other idols in our, the other things that are happening in our lives, we can expect them to kind of fall apart if we're not putting God in the right place. So, like I said, he knocks him down. They set him up. He knocks him down and busts him. And then that's whenever he starts sending the plague and the tumors on him. And, you know, the things that God showed the power over, God showed, first of all, that he had power over their idols. Because when he was knocking Dagon down, he was saying, you know, I'm not equal to them. I've got power over these. The next thing that he showed them was he had power over their bodies because he brought on the physical affliction on them. And he was showing them that he was in control of that. And he had not only the ability to inflict, but he had the ability to heal. And then he showed that he had the power over creation because he had the rats plague him, right? And they had all these rats come in, and he was able to bring them or take them away, and he showed them that he had power over that. And the importance of that is that he was showing them that it wasn't just a figment of their imagination. It wasn't just a thing. It was an actual thing that was happening. The rats actually came, right? He's actually got control because he's real, unlike their idols. And what's interesting is so often, instead of saying, You know, and it's easier for us to say, well, you know, if God did that kind of stuff in our life, we would just say, hey, God, you're greater than any of this other stuff, and we're gonna serve you now, right? And you look at this and you read and you think, why didn't the Philistines realize after Dagon was busted, why didn't they realize, hey, the God of Israel is powerful. The God of Israel done these things that it talked about. We know what he did to the Egyptians whenever they held him in contempt, right? We know what he did through history. They knew that, but yet they didn't turn to God. They said what? We got to get him out of here. We got to get rid of him. And they carted him off. You know, and I wonder how often we act the same way whenever it's that God works in our lives and he gets our attention and maybe he gives us affliction, you know, maybe he gives us suffering. And instead of saying, God, what are you trying to show me through this affliction? What are you trying to show me through this suffering? We just push him farther and farther away. Because instead of saying, Lord, I'm turning to you, I'm serving you, we say, you're not doing what we want, so we're going to get rid of you. So like I said, they'd moved him to the next city, the outbreaks came, they moved him to the next one, and then they just get rid of him altogether. So how do we, how do we react? Well, how do we do things whenever he's trying to get our attention? And you look at it, and from their point of view, though, they had the temples to Dagon. They had everything set up. I mean, Dagon was their god, right? In order to say, now we're going to worship the God of Israel, they was going to have some radical changes in their lives. And I think that, for me, looking at it, I think that was the deal. They weren't ready for radical changes in their lives. And that's the same thing that gets us today whenever we know that Jesus is Lord. We know that we should be serving him. We recognize it. But we also recognize that if I serve Christ, there's going to be some radical changes in my life. I'm going to have to leave the old things I was doing. I'm going to have to come to him. I'm going to leave those other things. I got to leave a life of sin. I got to leave maybe those things that I enjoy. There's going to be radical changes that maybe I just don't want to give up. You know what also amazes me? Is over time I have been skinnier than I am today. And there was a time that we were exercising and we were running and I felt really good. And then I broke my shoulder and I started gaining some weight and I started eating the sugar and I started doing all this stuff and I know that I don't feel as good as I once did, but for some reason I'm still eating the sugar. Y'all with me? For some reason, that soda can still says, hey, you might want to drink me today. And I remember that I felt really good when I was exercising and eating better, and I'm just not doing it. Now, that's just, I'm talking about me here, right? How many, remember when you got saved, how you felt? You remember you knew you were as close to God, and then you let things get in your life, and you started going away? And you know when you was in the will of God, you had joy, and maybe today you don't have the joy. Even if things was going wrong, you had joy. Amen? Because you knew God was in control. And maybe now you're saying, Lord, I know that I don't have the same joy that I once did. And I know from my diet, if I would do the things I once did, I would feel better. Amen? Spiritually, for my diet, I need to do the things that weren't taking away my joy, the things that was giving me joy. But they didn't turn to God. They said, let's put him over here. Let's shove him in the corner. Let's move him over. And how often do we compartmentalize our lives so that, you know, this is Sunday morning. This is time for God. Right? We got us a couple hours here. We're going to focus on God, but tomorrow we're going to focus on our career, or we're going to focus on whatever retired people do. For those of y'all that I was reminded don't work, and we compartmentalize, and we only visit God when it was time for God. And when we do that, we can read this story with a different idea of we need to put him over here if he's not fitting into what we expect out of him. And whenever we read that and we think, hey, they were wrong, do we turn that back on ourselves and say, hey, I'm wrong if I'm compartmentalizing God and I'm not putting him throughout everything that I do? You know, God's not going to act the way that we think he should act. I like those Narnia series, you know, I like to read those or I've read those all, and there's one line in there that I really like, and for anybody that's not read it, Aslan, the lion, you know, he represents God, and they say, or represents Christ, and he says, but Aslan is a wild lion, right? I got to paraphrase because I haven't read it in a while, but he's saying he's not always going to do what you think he's going to do. He's gonna do something different. Sometimes that might be scary, and sometimes it may not, because God just doesn't fit in. He stands out. Wherever we want to compartmentalize him, he's not gonna fit in that box because he's bigger than whatever compartment we put him in. He's not gonna fit in. He stands out. He doesn't serve. He gets served. You know, we should have. We really have one choice in life. We can serve God or we cannot serve God. And, you know, so often we like black and white, right? We want something simple. And that's really where it gets down to it. We're either serving God or we're serving ourselves. Which is the foundation of Satanism, is that you serve yourself, that you are God, right? So when you really get down to it, we're either serving Christ or we're serving Satan, because you can serve yourself and you're doing exactly what he wants us to do. You know, if we're truly servants, then we know that we don't get to choose where we serve. You know, we don't get to be picky about where he sends us. We don't get to be picky about what he tells us to do. 1 Samuel 7:1-2 says, "So the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord, and they brought it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the ark of the Lord. And then the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim a long time, 20 years in all. So they crated it off, they sent it off, and it ended up at Abinadab's house. And, you know, the Israelites, they didn't really want to take God back to the temple because God didn't do what they wanted him to do. And they said, no, we'll just stick him over in the far corner, and we're going to stick him over at Abinadab's house. And Abinadab says, okay, I'll take him. And through the years, he had him for 20 years, and we read later in the time of David, Abinadab got blessed all over when he had the ark in his household. Because he said, you know what, maybe no one else wants God. Maybe I'm the only one out of two nations. I'm the only one who wants God, but I'll take him. Now, I'm not saying that, hey, if you accept Christ as your Savior, you serve God, you're going to have material wealth and you're going to do all this. But I do know you're going to have joy because the Bible tells me so. And because I've experienced it, amen. And I don't know which one's more important. I know that the fact that the Bible says it makes it true, so I can experience it. And the fact that I have experienced it, I know it's true, so I can share it with people, and I should, amen. You know, we're going to have joy because he says we're going to have joy. And Abinadab had joy and prosperity. But like I said, they stuck him over the corner because he didn't act the way that they wanted him to act. You know, where have you put God in your life this morning? Where can you say, what compartment have you put God in? Have you put him in some, all, or have you shipped him off on a cart over to the corner? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know, you're talking about joy, but I don't really have any. Well, I don't believe we can have Christ and be obedient to him and not have joy. So if you're here this morning and you can't say, hey, I've got joy in my life, then either you don't know him or he's calling you to do something you're not doing. My last question that I have for you here is, if you'd kick the slide over there for me. Have you put God in His place this morning? We see a lot of time here that they were putting Him in the place they thought He belonged, but they didn't put Him in His place. You know, if we don't put God in His place in our lives, where is His place in our lives? I think I've pointed out this morning that His place in our lives is over it all, right? The Ark of the Covenant had the cherubim on it. I think I'm pronouncing that right. And if you read the scripture, it was believed that God was over, He dwelled over the cherubim, right? Well, He dwells over us. And that's His place. And if we're not experiencing joy, then that means He is not over us. You know, and He wanted us to experience that so much that He did send His Son to die for us. This week, you know, as I listen to the lessons and listen to the skits, you know, we're going to talk about there being two kingdoms. There's a good kingdom and there's a bad kingdom. And you either serve the bad kingdom or you're a part of the good kingdom. And that seems like a very simple message, but that is the gospel. Amen? And it's so simple, it's hard to accept sometimes. But we either put Christ in His place or He's not in His place. We're either serving Him or we're not. I'm going to ask the song leader to come this morning as Matt comes up and sings the song. If you're here this morning, you can't say that you've accepted Christ as your Savior. If you can't say you have joy in your life, I want to ask you to come up and we'll pray about what that means. What number are we singing?
142.
142, if everybody stand.
There is.
This afternoon at 1, right, we start children's camp. Is there any other announcements we need to make around that? All right, so be here if you're involved in that, and be here if you find some kids just walking around and want to bring them back and drop them off. You know, we'll take them. So, all right.
If you are not
mine. And with that, Greg, would you dismiss in a word of prayer?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Thank you for the word we received today. And I just pray, Lord, that we put you in a place where we could worship you every day and serve you. Lord, I want to pray for this week. I just pray that your hand be upon these kids as they come and go. I pray for safety there. And I pray, Lord, that you open the kids' hearts, that we receive your words. And Lord, I pray for patience of the teachers as they deal with these. These things I say in Jesus' name. Amen.
They're off. There we go.